Amen. Can you get my Bible out of that case, please? Here we go. Thank you. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Amen. The anointing of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's just pray over this service and this word. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this time that we had in your presence. Thank you, Jesus, that we were able to bless you with our worship. Thank you, Father God, for this word that you have for us tonight, that we will go out of this place changed, ready to go into the mission field, our neighborhoods and our families and our jobs, showing the love of Jesus that brings men to repentance. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. All right, God is good. Woo! His mercy endureth forever. Amen. Tonight, we're going to talk about, well, we need to know our defense when it comes to offense, meaning how many of you have ever been offended? Kind of got your feelings hurt, been a little offended, something happened. I think we can all say yes to that. So we need to know how to defend ourselves against offense. Amen? So defense, if you're playing some kind of sport game, defense is when we are protecting what we have. All right? So if we can put it this way, we already have the victory. Jesus is the victor. We are more than conquerors. Amen? We win. Now, when attacks come, and that is when attacks will come, okay? We are to defend what Jesus has already done for us. So we're on the winning side, defending, okay? So we're not trying to win. We're not trying we are winners. Amen. And we're pushing back and not taking those things that Satan's trying to push on us. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Matthew 24:10, and we're going to be in the New King James Version. Matthew 24:10. Who has been doing that Bible reading plan? It's been good. We're getting in the habit of reading our Bible, getting into that habit of doing that every day so we can get what God needs us to get in the morning, get recharged every day. So we're here in Matthew 24:10. So just to kind of sum up some things here, his disciples ask him, what does it look like at the end of days? And this scripture stood out to me because I already told Pastor Ricky, it's really on my heart to talk about offense, because one thing that we've been talking a lot about is growing up spiritually. We've been on this series, if we want to call it that, growing up spiritually. We're growing up, right? This is one of those things that we have to get a hold of. This year, we are seeing the supernatural acceleration in our lives. But if we are always offended, if we're always falling for the same trick over and over again on this hamster wheel of life because we don't know how to control those things or get off of this, then we need to take a good look. We need to see. We need to grow up in some areas of our life. Amen. One of those things is not be offended all the time. Okay, so Matthew 24:10, it says, "And then many will be offended." Huh. Has anybody ever seen that before? It was, for me, this, I'm like, wow, this is interesting. This goes right in line. So many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. It's interesting that there's a progression here. There's offense. There's betrayal. And then there is hate.
Amen.
An offended person will eventually betray. And if betrayal is not dealt with, then it will ultimately lead to hatred. Amen. Proverbs 18:19. This is a very serious topic, especially if you find yourself in a position where someone hurt your feelings. and they wronged you, and you have every right to be mad at them. And this can be a very strong feeling, and it can rip apart families, and it can rip apart friendships, it can rip apart marriages, it can do some damage. And we need to know that when we talk about offense, it is a very serious thing, and we need Amen. To deal with it in our lives. Amen? Yes. Proverbs 18:19. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. It's interesting because this is Solomon speaking this. He knew a few things maybe from his dad that did have to go and conquer cities. Let's do the Living Translation in this also, please. So Proverbs 18:19 in the Living. There we go. It is harder to win back a friendship of an offended brother than to capture a fortified city. His anger shuts you out like iron bars. That's serious stuff. Cities have walls. Walls are for protection. They help keep out people that might hurt you and protect people that are within those walls.
Yes.
For us in our soul is our mind, will, and emotions, yes. Right? So sometimes we say soul, and sometimes people think of it as the spirit. It's not. It is the soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. We might have some walls up. Might be telling us this is not a safe environment. You're putting up those walls right then and there. Maybe you've dealt with people. Maybe you've had some things in the past that you're trying to get through some walls. Because now at this point in life, you know there is a wall right there. And yes, there's time for healthy boundaries. But there's a point when there is forgiveness that takes place and there's a heart issue that starts to change. And that wall can start coming down. Paul calls them strongholds. Let's go into 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. He put in the word war right there. He is using this strong word of war. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural things. We don't war with these natural things. There's something spiritually that's something. There's something happening on the inside of us that we have to do. For the weapons of our warfare, so this is warfare taking place when we have to deal with offense. Yes. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Can we say mighty?
Mighty.
Mighty. Hallelujah in God. For pulling down strongholds. Hallelujah. There is hope. There is hope. If you have ever walked through offense, it doesn't feel like there's any hope. You feel like that friendship is gone. You feel like that marriage is gone. You feel like, you know, it feels hopeless. But the Word of God says it's mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Glory to God.
Amen.
Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I like this because it starts with a thought. It always starts with a thought. We're not going to go into that portion, but it always starts with a thought.
Amen.
Some translations say imaginations, because there's our thought world again. They said this, and then you take it way over here to this side. Imaginations, reasonings, your thought process, your belief system. If they are not of God in His ways, then they need to be handled. They need to be dealt with as quickly and as precisely as you can at the very beginning.
Yes. Amen.
It's like a little hangnail. It's like a little, you know, it's just kind of aggravating, just kind of, and then you know, something else, and it tears even more. If you would have just clipped it when it was little, just like, no, we need to take care of this right now. We need to use, you know, call the person up, use some communication, get it, try to get it settled right then and there so it doesn't start to fester, it doesn't get infected, it doesn't get into that point where it's like a fortified city and you can't even get to the and talk to that person anymore. Amen? Now, the Word of God talks about his nature, God's nature. First and foremost, what is one word that we could describe God's nature?
Love.
You guys are so good. You guys are awesome. Love, the love of God. He doesn't just have love. He is love. Amen. For God so loved, he gave. When you are living a life out of love, if you are living your life without love, if I can say it like that, you can't think about other people. When you are walking with the love of God shed abroad in your heart, you actually start thinking about others. Now, when someone is offended, you have these strongholds, these walls up. You think, protect me, protect me, 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 protect over here. You're all only thinking about yourself. That is the perfect situation for betrayal. And it's kind of a weird word, but that's what he talks about in Matthew. He used that word betrayal. It's a perfect situation for betrayal. What is betrayal? When I seek my own benefit at the expense of the person I have a relationship with. When you think about yourself more than what this friendship, more than this other person, betrayal will take place. Betrayal is ultimately abandonment of relationship. And if not dealt with, it will lead to hatred. We have to deal with offense. We can't let it get to the betrayal point when you're only thinking about yourself and you're going to do everything to cut off this other person or to hurt this other person, because it will lead to hatred. All right, so Matthew 24:10, and many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. This is interesting. Let's go to verse 11. So verse 11, Matthew 24:10, we're still in the New King James here. Then, the word is then. So after this happens, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many.
Amen.
So we're talking about people getting offended, turning into betraying one another, turning into this hatred that starts coming around. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Who are the many that will be deceived? Who are these people? Well, it's the people that started off offended. Those are the people that will be deceived. Offense is the breeding ground for deception. Now, the bad thing, the sad thing about deception, the person that is deceived doesn't know that they are deceived. They believe with all their heart that they are right, and in reality, they are wrong, and they just don't know it. We don't want to be deceived. Amen. We need to have our defense ready for when offense tries to come.
Yes. Amen.
All right, so this is interesting because false prophet, that's kind of a weird thing. So verse 11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. That's kind of interesting because we don't really talk too much about false prophets. And I think sometimes people in their head think of what they're trying to figure out what a false prophet is. So let's go to Matthew 7:15. Hallelujah. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves.
Amen.
It's interesting that it doesn't say they come in shepherd's clothing. They come in sheep's clothing. Meaning, and it's interesting because Stephanie and I have been talking about wolves and different things, and God's been speaking to her a lot, and so it was just interesting kind of researching some of this stuff out. But more than likely, the wolf won't be the pastor or won't be the prophet behind, you know, the podium saying those kind of things. He won't be in the shepherd's clothing. Jesus said, this is Jesus talking right here, beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. So what this looks like is sheep, maybe someone in the congregation that you just, you know, everything that the pastor's trying to say or do, they're bucking against it. They're biting at it. They're whatever the idea of a wolf would be inside your head to go against what God is trying to do for their congregation and for their people. You'll see this opposition take place. But not only that, but we see a lot of people that say they're Christians. They can say it all day long, but we know them by their fruit. Amen. The Word of God says we will know them by their fruit. And we can see what is happening in their life. We will see the fruit, and it will show us what they really are.
Amen.
Their actions. Their actions will say otherwise. And we have to keep our eyes open because people can say stuff all day long. And people do. People say they're Christians all day long, but their life has no reflection of a Christian life or serving God. Or, you know, they might have even said it when they're a little kid. That's okay. But know what? They need to get grown up in the Lord. That's why we're all here. Amen. We are all on different growing stages, but we have to make sure we see these things. So he's talking about the false prophet there. Let's go into Proverbs 18:1. All right, so what do, as she's turning there, what do wolves try to do? They try to isolate. They try to find the weakest sheep and try to isolate. And then, of course, eat the sheep. They're trying to have some dinner. All right, they try to isolate. This is so interesting. This was so good. Proverbs 18:1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. It is so neat to see that. It was like just, wow, Father God, this is so good. A man who isolates himself. So we already saw that in the other scripture. Isolates himself, seeks his own desire. The me, 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 the wall that's going up. Those offenses. A man who isolates himself, seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. We see that he has now been deceived.
Yes.
He is deceived. He will not listen to any kind of wise judgment, telling them that the bridge is out ahead, if we can say it like that. They're going down this road. The bridge is out ahead. The wise friend is right there trying to tell them, you need to really get back over here because there is something that's happening ahead, and the person is deceived.
Yes.
They think they are doing right, but they are deceived.
Yeah.
A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Wow.
Yeah.
We have to see, okay, Lord, is that me? Am I falling into that category? I mean, it's so easy to think, oh, this is, you know, the person next to me, or this is my husband yesterday, or this, you know, or whatever. Okay. we have to look at ourselves. Isolate, seeking your own desire, raging against wisdom. Amen. Let's go down to verse 12 in Matthew. Matthew 24:12. We are guarding ourselves. We have a defense against offense that tries to come. Amen. All right, so we are back in Matthew 24. We're going to get verse 12. So just right in line here from where we've been reading. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. I looked up that word love. That word love is agape.
Yeah.
That word love is agape. So he is talking to people that had the love of God in their heart growing cold.
Yes.
Wow.
Amen.
I double checked it when I was back studying a second ago because I'm like, wow, is this word love really agape? And it is. That word right there, love, is agape, the God kind of love. And because lawlessness will abound, The love of many will grow cold. The God kind of love. So Jesus is not just talking about the world here. He's also talking to the Jewish people. He's talking to the Christians that had the love of God in their heart. He's talking to us. Amen?
Amen.
And then, of course, verse 13 and 14. Amen. Glory to God. But he who endures to the end shall be saved.
Amen.
And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So when we are having this, when we are trying to find this defense, trying to make sure that we are defending ourselves against offense, there are some times when we have the people that are around us, people closest to us, right? We get offended more easily with the people that are closest to us. Why is that? Because they're close to you, they're around you every day. You have a higher expectation for them. You don't expect your husband or your wife to do something that would hurt you. So you get offended more easily. So we have, say, the world over here, and we don't have very high expectations for the world. So when the world hurts us, we're like, well, that's what the world does. So, all right, and then there's maybe friends and acquaintances. And then there's some little things that can really, there's some little pain points in that can really happen. And then you get to your family and your spouse, and there's some bigger issues that can come about. So we need to, as we're looking at this, we need to guard ourselves, have a good, solid defense when offense comes from our kids, from our mom and dads, from our uncles, aunts, from our spouse. More than likely, it's going to be those family and close friends. We have to know, we have to decide to not get offended,
amen,
to put up that defense with the Word of God. Amen?
Yep.
Hallelujah. All right, I don't know if some of you have heard, my mom used to preach a message called Peaches in the Punch Bowl. And it was so good because she knows of a church. They had a church split because two women, one wanted peaches in the punch bowl and one did not. They're at some kind of event. I think the expectation was one woman thought that there was supposed to be peaches in the punch bowl, and when she saw the punch bowl there was no peaches. There's our expectation that's not met there. There's a void that offense can fill, and that's not good. We don't know that there's that void there until it happens, right? You don't know that. I thought you were thinking the same thing I was thinking, and you did not put the peaches in the punch bowl. They had a church split, and this was a true story. So I don't know too many more details than that, but that is a true story, and it's a very sad thing. Also, things like with husbands and wives, maybe you grow up with your parents always making a big deal for your birthday, making you an awesome cake and celebrating, you know, to high heaven your birthday, and then you marry somebody. And this is actually opposite. So one time I didn't get him a card, and the expectation was he wanted a card. I didn't get you a card. Yes. This was when we were first married, honey. We'll have a talk later. No. Obviously there's forgiveness that has taken place because he can't even remember anymore. Hallelujah. So, you know, different things, there's different expectations that you think in one way it's supposed to be this way. They have no idea over here. There was a miscommunication, and now you're trying to figure it out, and you're kind of swimming and trying to keep your head above water. So to try to, you know, now you have your feelings hurt, they have their feelings hurt, and now you're trying to walk through it. And there has to be some forgiveness on some level. Just recently, I'll just be very open and honest with you. Just recently, we went to Colorado, and we got out of the side by side, and we were hiking a little bit. And while we were hiking, all of a sudden, All of a sudden, this thought came in my head of a situation that we had where we went on another hike, and I didn't feel like he was helping me in this hike. I'm not going to go into any other details than that. So, as I'm hiking, I'm like, no, what this
anger
is.
Set
in. I'm not, no, it was not anger. I was trying to discuss, and it was not a time to discuss something this, like this. And so, oh no, do not give him the microphone.
I'm going to give the correct.
The correct version of the story.
Version of the story. So we're walking along, and her demeanor just changes, and I know immediately.
It starts with a thought, right?
Just the like story, every man in here knows immediately. Somebody's about to get messed up, and I hope to God it ain't me, right? Because we're just walking. I haven't been messing with her. I haven't been, you know, because I can aggravate her till she just wants to choke me out sometimes too, you know? Right? I went through my checklist. No, I'm good. I didn't do nothing stupid. And it just changes. She goes, you remember that time? Whenever it starts out like that, you already know. Yeah. Walk faster.
So, yeah. So, I'm reminding him of some things so he can remember the story.
You and didn't help me.
That
you
wasn't
on
very
the hike,
nice.
But you helped everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went, How long ago was that?
No, you said, well, someone's walking in unforgiveness. That's what you said. Which
I
was true.
I wouldn't say that.
You did say that. And that was good because it was true. It is exactly what was happening. Obviously, I did not forgive him for something so silly as that. Right? And then Satan tries to ruin a beautiful day, a nice hike, this thought comes in, oh, well, I'm going to tell Ricky that that hurt my feelings,
yeah.
What, 3 years ago? and then, of course, that's not what I want to hear. Well, you're walking in unforgiveness. It's not the words that you want to hear, but I closed my mouth because I knew that was right on. I knew that that is what was happening in my heart. There was unforgiveness. There was offense.
And don't be confused either. I've done the same thing, and I've had to shut my mouth. It's a process,
yes,
that we're both having to work out together. It's not just her messing up. It's me messing up as well, and me just shutting my mouth going, you're right, I'm sorry. I messed up. I missed it.
Learning from it.
I shouldn't have said nothing. Forgive me. Let's move forward from here. But being able to adjust and continue forward and not just keep going, yeah, well, I can't believe you did that.
Yeah.
See, now we're just creating a Satan's now been able to drive a wedge in between us.
Yes.
Right? And where every evil work is, what's there?
Yep.
No. There's every evil work.
Yes.
And what's every evil work?
Every evil work. Not good.
That allows a lot of things to come in once,
yes,
you start allowing all that stuff to come in. Because offense brings right along with it strife. Because,
yeah,
mm-hmm, what do you think offense is?
Yes.
Right?
Strife.
So you're mad at somebody about something.
Yes, exactly. Yep, that is so good.
Amen.
That is so good.
Amen.
Yes. So going back to Proverbs 18, you don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 18:1, a man who isolates himself, seeks his own desire, rages against all wise judgment. So when my husband had this wise judgment, I had to know that he is speaking truth and had to humble myself and pride and everything else that goes along with that and go, you know what? That is exactly what I'm dealing with. Satan brought this up. There is unforgiveness. There is offense in my heart. And Lord, I just need to forgive him. And it took a couple minutes. I mean, I said it really nice and easy, but when that happens like that, it takes a couple minutes. But you get there. Amen. Because we're growing up in the things spiritually. So, yeah.
Amen. We do. Real fast, if we'll look at it in the easy read version, it says, some people like to do things their own way. And they get upset when people give them advice.
Which one was this? Proverbs 18:1?
Yeah, Proverbs 18:1, easy read. It says, some people like to do things their own way, and they get upset when people give them advice. God's words, the translation says, a loner is out to get what he wants for himself.
Wow.
He opposes all sound reasoning, but he's out to get what he wants for himself. I heard somebody talk about, can I say this?
Yeah.
Son, you got pages.
I know.
Amen. So someone's out to get what they want for themselves. A good way to get rid of that is ask yourself, what's the motive behind what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Did God ask me to do this?
Right.
Or am I doing it because I want to be seen?
Amen.
Or because I think it's a good idea?
Yeah.
And if those are the reasons, those are wrong reasons.
Yes.
But if God asks you to do something,
yeah,
you're free to do it all by yourself. But what's the motive behind what I'm doing?
Yeah.
What's the motive? What's the motivator behind why I'm doing this way?
Yeah.
What's the motivator behind why I'm going this way? Sometimes it's tradition.
Yeah.
Well, healing's not for us today. Well, what's the motivation? What's the motive behind that? Because I heard it from somebody else? Because somebody else didn't get healed and now they assume it's not God's will?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So what's the motive behind what I'm doing? That'll help us get through everything throughout our entire life.
Yes.
And make sure that we're not just doing it because we... Brother Hagin said, a guy told him one time, you should write a book about this. You know, you can make a lot of money. He said it took him at least 7 years before he'd write a book. Because he said, every time I sat down to write it, that thought would come up. I could make money off this. And he said, and that's the wrong motive behind writing that book. He said, so I would not write it until I got past that.
Yeah.
See, being like that, you'll be straight in everything you do. And Satan won't be allowed to get you to motivate you to do something for wrong reasons either.
Yeah.
Amen.
So just that thought, he had to make sure that that was taken care of. He said it took him up like to 5 to 7 years before he ever wrote a book because of that.
Yeah.
See, what's the motive behind what I'm doing?
Yeah. Amen. That's good. Hallelujah. That is good. We need to know the motive to that. Amen. Let's turn to Acts 24:16. Hallelujah. Good word from the Lord. Amen. Acts 24:16. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man.
Amen.
This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man. And yes, you can be offended toward God.
Yes.
Let's do the King James Version in that also, please. I like one word. It changes one word in here. And I really like what it says. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscious void to offense toward God and toward man. He used the word exercise there. Hallelujah. There's this kind of this thought. If my husband was up here and I were to kind of run into him to try to maybe knock him down or something, he probably wouldn't fall down. He'd probably see me coming toward him. He'd probably even move out of the way and I'd go right by him or whatever. But the thing is, he would be ready for it. He would see it. He would be prepared for it. He would be, he works out, so he's strong enough to handle a little bit of a push or a shove. And I'm just saying this because if we have someone else up here that might be weak and frail, maybe doesn't know to be prepared for something happening to them, their eyes aren't open to see what's going on around them, what would happen to that person? That person would be injured. That person would fall down. That person maybe would pull a muscle. So when it says, and herein I do exercise myself, we have to exercise ourselves to be strong, to be aware, to be looking around us. So we are the one that, we can take a little bit of a push, a shove. We're not going to fall down. We're not going to give in. We're not going to fall into these offenses because we have exercised ourselves to always, the word always, always have a conscience without offense toward God and man. Conscience void to offense toward God and toward men. We need to exercise this. We need to build this up. We need to be ready for this. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to find myself in these notes real quick. Hallelujah. Well, we are, I think we're going to stop right there. We're trying to stay right around 8 o'clock to respect people's time and different things. And hallelujah, it's 8:10. Glory to God. Father God, I thank you, Jesus, for your word. Lord, I thank you that we are becoming aware of these things, that we are growing up spiritually, that we are growing up. We are not falling for the same trick twice. I thank you, Father God, that we do not want to be in offense, that we do not want to fall into this offense and get into this betrayal and get into this hatred. Lord, we rebuke that right now. I thank you, Jesus, that we hear these words from your word tonight, that we apply it to our life. And yes, offense will come. It might even come right when we get in our cars with our kids and our husband or whatever. But Lord, we know that we have this warfare, that we can put up this defense to combat this offense that tries to put up these walls in our life. I thank you, Jesus, that you will just bring up these these things, just like in the story with Pastor Ricky and I, these little things that happen and that you automatically see you're in unforgiveness. That it will be the Holy Spirit telling us when Satan tries to put those things in our head or try to get us offended, Holy Spirit, let us know. Tell us when we are in offense, when we are in unforgiveness, when we need to reconcile with somebody. I thank you, Lord, that there is healing that will take place in our life. Thank you, Jesus, that other people and people of our family and friends and our coworkers will see a change in us because there is freedom, hallelujah, when we give that up to you. Hallelujah. Tonight, if there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus as Lord, tonight is the night. If that